Praise the Lord. This is an awesome day. It's an awesome day. Today, I want to preach. This may be a hard scripture to find, but Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Oh, you only got the New Testament? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." He's the God who creates. How many believes that? He's the God who creates. And man, God is huge. I mean, he's massive. I mean, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's the God who creates. And if he's the God who created everything, all the trees, the grass, created the birds, created everything, I mean, in his, so he's a genius. I mean, he's in a class all by himself. When we study the complexities of the universe, the complexities of the human body, the complexities of, I mean, he's just amazing. And sometimes we doubt him, don't we? Sometimes we forget that God is more powerful, more greater than creation itself. He is more powerful than the devil. Some of us may not have that revelation. Yes, I'm going to go ahead and say that. God is bigger than big. I mean, he is awesome, and he can do anything. He can bring healing. He can bring salvation. I mean, this is Yahweh, the Hebrew name for God. Yahweh we're talking about here. The God who existed before time that cannot be confined in time. He exists outside of time, and so he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God. And so if we understand how big God is, we will understand how little our problems are. Because if we understand how big God is, we can walk in victory every day of our life. And it's your outlook that predicts, that determines your outcome. The problem is never the problem, but our perception about the problem is the problem. Did y'all catch that? See, it's all about your perception. See, how big is God to you? Now, the Bible says that God is magnificently, infinitely big, that he cannot be measured. And if God himself cannot be measured, then his grace and his mercy and his salvation cannot be measured. I mean, this is the infinite God. We cannot measure him. As I said before, he is in a class all by himself. He is Yahweh. So bear with the pastor this morning as he's bragging on the goodness of God and how big God is. Because when I look at how big God is, I see how small my problems are. I see how small my circumstances are. My circumstances are small, but God is infinitely bigger and larger than my sin and my problems. For where sin abounded, God's grace much more abounded. He didn't just die for the sins of us. He died for the sins of the whole world. And I hear people say, well, God just doesn't meet my expectations. Let me correct you. God goes beyond your expectations. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which works in us," according to the perception that we see God, according to how we are, to how our outlook is. How do you view God? Is he small in your life, or is he big in your life? Because that will determine whether you walk in victory daily. Amen. See, when my problem is too big for me, it's just the right size for God, right? Look at him feeding the 5,000 with, what was it, 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? And the Bible says that he fed every one of them, and you know what else it says? It says, and there was leftovers. And I'm here to tell you, some of us, we're living in lack. We're living in defeat, like we don't have enough resources, like we don't, listen, it's not that we don't have enough resources, we just don't have a vision. God, give your people a vision. Listen, we don't have to live in defeat. We don't have to live in lack, but we can live in the goodness of God and say, God's will, God's bill. Can I get an amen this morning? And I believe that God is bigger than our complaints. God is bigger than our doubts. God is bigger than our grumblings. God is bigger than our moanings. God is bigger. And we must make God bigger in our lives. Because when people, when they see your life, can they tell that you are a believer in Christ Jesus? He is big in my heart, right? God is on our side. If God be for us, who could be against us? Who in here likes science? Some of us. Who in here likes English? I'm going to get into some science and English grammar this morning, but I believe that theology serves the foundation for science and grammar. Can I get an amen this morning? Some of you are like, oh no, he's taking us back to school this morning. No, trust me, it's going to be better than that. Can I get an amen on that one? God is so good. You agree with me? Can you put that verse back on the wall, or is it still on? Look how good God is. I mean, God is just so big. He's just amazing. He's outstanding. And I can quote it from memory if we can't put it there. In the beginning, everybody say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Create. God is the only one that can create. And this word that's used there is only used for divine activity, not human activity. No one else can create like God can. And when we say that we are creative, we're actually just digging something up that God already created. Are y'all with me? Where did you get the lyrics to that song? That is anointed. Where did you get the words to that song? How in the world did you get that message? God created it, and I pressed in and found it. We call that revelation. And so God is creative. And you know, God is so powerful that there are new species that are still being discovered to this day in the ocean. There are species we don't even know about. And God is amazing. He's infinite. There's no limit to him. Don't limit. Look at your neighbor and say, look, I'm getting tongue-tied. Look at your neighbor and say, don't limit God. And don't laugh at the pastor. Hallelujah. So don't limit God. God is so amazing. And they're still finding out new species. And man, it is incredible. It is blowing my mind away, right? And so God is creative, right? And so there's time, space, matter. That's the scientific method. Right? Time, space, matter. Look here. In the beginning, what is that? Time. God created the heavens, outer space. And the earth, that's matter. And the whole scientific method that science rests upon is found in Genesis 1:1. Is that not cool or what? Time, space, and matter. Beginning is a measurement of time. Right? Heaven speaks of space. The earth speaks of matter, right? So it's a trinity. It sums up science. So time, listen closely, time is made up of three properties. Solid, liquid, or matter is made up of three properties. Excuse me. Solid, liquid, and gas. Outer space has three properties, height, width, and depth. Time has three properties too. Everybody say three. Past, present, and future. I'm trying to get my mind around this one verse here. So God doesn't dwell in time. He created the universe, and there's dark matter everywhere, and there's places that humans have not been yet. He's so infinite. He's so big, and there's matter, and there's earth, and the trees right now outside as the wind is blowing is giving praise to God. Because as the winds blow through the tree is just doing what it's designed to do when it grows. All creation is giving God praise. All creation. And so it's amazing that the whole scientific method, that the greatness of God and the infinity of God is found and packed in this one verse like a pack of sardines. Is that not amazing? God is big, right? He's big. Did you know that there's light? Scientists are saying this. There's light in every square inch of the universe. Light is made up of photons, and there, listen to this, there's approximately 4 million photons per square meter. That's what I said too. 96% of the universe is unknowable. 96% of the universe is unknowable, and it's made up of dark energy and dark matter, yet light is there from scientific research. There's dark matter, there's dark energy out there, but yet scientists are saying there's still light everywhere made up of millions and millions of photons. There is nowhere that I can't leave the presence of God. God is light. God is light. And that same light that lights up this universe that we can't even see with our own eyes, right? And some of us, and we live in a believing, seeing culture, don't we? Well, I won't believe it until I see it. I won't believe it. Listen, there's light everywhere. In the dark matter, in the dark places of the universe, there's light. Now, I'm here to tell you, I'm ready to preach now. In your darkest hour, the light is there. God is there. In your deepest valley, in your saddest moment, when you think all hope is gone, it's not gone. Hope is there. You can't see it, but the light is there. Hope is there if you'll just believe. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, it's awful dark. No, it ain't. The light is shining based on scientific research and based on what God has spoken in His Word. Now, we believe that theology serves as the foundation for science. How many believes that? Hallelujah. God Himself, He's so big. He's everywhere. And light, listen to this, light is the most stable element in the universe. God is light, right? He's the most, everybody say stable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will never change in your life. He'll be your bulwark. He'll be your fortress. He'll be your defender. He'll never change in your life. I don't know about y'all, but that makes me pretty happy. Amen. Right? God said, and you know what? God said that we are shining lights in this world for Him. So next time you get down and out about your problems, you need to tell your problems how big God is. Because my God is big. And He's bigger than this universe. That's pretty awesome. Everybody say, God the Creator. God the Creator. And God, who is so powerful. How many believes that powerful is not even a word to use here? You know, and the Bible says in Hebrews 1 that He upholds all things by the word of His power. By the word of His power. So He spoke it into existence. Man, the man's smart. He's just so wise. Right? So He's God the Creator, and He's so powerful, but yet God is so caring and so compassionate and looks out for us, and He's on our side. If God be for us, who could be against us? Not only is He the powerful God who creates, but He's the God who nurtures like a mother. He's the God who nurtures, right? Turn to Isaiah 49, and I want to read verse 14. Isaiah 49, verse 14. I want to read this scripture together. Now, we refer to Him as Father God, but the Bible uses motherly metaphors. Everybody say metaphors. Motherly metaphors to describe God. Look right here. It says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. How many's ever been at that spot before in their life? The Lord has left me. What am I going to do, right? The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Go to the next verse. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? So you see the metaphor? You see the motherly metaphor? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. I think that's pretty awesome, don't you? So God is spirit. God is spirit. And I looked, and I love to do word studies. And in John 4:24, you don't have to turn there. But in John 4:24, it says, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I looked up the part of speech right there for spirit, right? So it wasn't spoken in the masculine form or the feminine form. It was spoken, right? It was neutral. The parts of speech. Are y'all still with me? I hope I'm not listening to this more to boring you to death. Meaning, and it was so awesome when I read the part of speech for it. So it's neither masculine nor feminine. In other words, God says, I'll be to you whatever you need me to be in your life. And then it hit me. I was like, God is spirit. So that means God is there with me no matter what. If I need a friend, he's there for me. If I need a mother, he's there for me. If I need a father, he's there for me. He will be to me whatever I need to be. He is spirit and he is life everlasting. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty good. So God is spirit. So he is infinitely above biological features. He's God. He's in a class all by himself, amen? Right? And so everything, so man is created in the image of God. Yes, woman is created in the image of God too. Everything created in woman that sets her off from man comes from God and reflects something of his image. How do you say that, Pastor? We just read it right there on the screen. It's metaphorical. So we're looking at God, and God, when you need nurturing in your life, and you and people haven't shown you a lot of compassion or nurturing, but yet God, the Father, is nurturing you like a mother would in your darkest hour. And he says, can a woman forget her child? He won't forget you. That is awesome. It's about God's love, amen? Right. So the Bible, God is awesome. He'll be to us what we need. It's about God's love. When I see Conley, I see Beth, her mom. Can a woman forget her child? Right? If I need to locate Beth, right, there's Conley right there with her. Because the mother is not going to forget her child. How much more will he remember you? Man, if we could just trust. I seen her crying for Beth last week. Crying for her, right? And you know what? She went running to her. God does not forget your cries. Now the devil will come in and say, God ain't hearing you. He's not listening to you. But God hears your cries. Have that person ain't living for God. I don't care. If you call on God, that person is made in the image and likeness of God. And God cares for each and every person in this universe. He is massive. He is big. He is powerful. But yet, he is caring and he's nurturing. And what a perfect picture of God when you see the discipline and correction of a father coupled with the compassion and nurture of the mother. It portrays the fullness of who God is. That is awesome. Wow. That's incredible. We'll just be quiet for a moment and let that soak in. God cares for us. He cares for us. Read that next verse. This is good too. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Now, he didn't write you with a Sharpie marker that will wash off when the storms of life come through. He literally burnt skin. inscribed your name. And that's why Jesus said no one can snatch you out of the Father's hands. And so he inscribed your name, you, in his hand. And God is big. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And here we are. We don't even realize the massiveness and the powerfulness of God. And we're complaining about our problems and what's going on and how dark this world is. But when I understand the security and the assurance that God has given me, that my name, that he looked at me out of 6 billion people on the face of this earth, yet my name is inscribed in the palms of his hands. Not with a Sharpie marker, but it is literally inscribed in his hand. Now that's the reason why I shout. And that's the reason why my voice is about to give out right now. Everybody say, bless the pastor, give him strength in his voice. Hallelujah. Even in rainy days, even in bad days, I'm telling you, this will preach to you if you'll let it. Even in your bad times, your name, you, will not be washed off from his hand. Inscribed, right? Man and woman were created in the image of God, right? He's strong. And the Bible says in Matthew 23, verse 37, can I give you another metaphor here? So we've seen one motherly metaphor of God. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. This is what Jesus said. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, look, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Do you see the nurturing of God? He's so caring. And many of us in our life at one time or another looked at God as someone who is my way or the highway. Right? Which he is the way, the truth, and the life. But y'all understand the attitude that I'm coming from. And so we look at God as someone who is critical, judgmental, but yet God, who corrects us and disciplines us, comes down and nurtures us like a mother would and holds us in his arms and cares for us. And the reason why, I believe this, the reason why sometimes we have a hard time obeying God is because our perception of God is not nurturing and caring or compassionate. Our perception of God is someone who has a gavel in his hand ready to inflict punishment on you. Y'all with me this morning? He's caring. The Father is caring. He cares for us, right? And Jesus said, my body is broken for you, right? When a woman goes through labor, she is going through pain and suffering so her child can be born. Her body is breaking in labor so there could be a birth. Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Is that not wild? This is my body broken for you. He did this so you could be birthed again, so you could be born again. His body was broken for you. Do you see the nurturing? Do you see the nurture and the compassion and the care that he has? It's amazing, right? And see, when the baby is born, the baby knows that the source of nourishment is from the mother. And the mother's not going to say like, well, I need to go to McDonald's. Got to feed. No, everybody knows where the nourishment comes from. Child of God, do you know where your nourishment comes from? Do you know where your peace of mind comes from, your spiritual nourishment? And you're going Taco Bell, McDonald's. And you can go to him. You don't have to go to the world. God is your nourishment. He is Abba Father who created everything. But yet he nurtures like a mother, according to Isaiah and Matthew. That's so awesome, right? Did you know Job's trouble only lasted 9 months? Job's trouble only lasted 9 months. Why are you telling us that? Don't judge the rest of your whole life based on the current season that you're in. And so he was going through that trouble, going through that time. I mean, it was a bad time. I believe all of us have read the book of Job. It lasted 9 months, but Job didn't sin. And all this, I said, Job did not sin. And he kept going. But at the end of 9 months, God blessed him. Some of you right now are judging your whole life based on the current season you're in. You may be in a drought, whatever it is, and you're basing your whole life by what you can see. But you got to trust in God. Whatever trouble you're going through, trust in God, because the blessing is coming. The blessing is coming. God will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? See, God didn't just deliver Job, but he made the enemy pay. He's going to make the enemy pay. Wow. This is incredible. Mark, go to Mark chapter 10, verse 16. Mark chapter 10. This is so good. Verse 16. And as it's getting on the... Everybody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah like 3 times so it'll give me time to drink. Yes, thank you. Mark chapter 10. This is Jesus. And he took them up in his arms as a mother would and laid his hands on them as a father would for the blessing. Did y'all catch that? And blessed them. That's, you see the fatherly image and the motherly image packed in that one verse. The nurture of a mother and the blessing of the father. God has called us parents. I said us parents. We're not parents yet. One day. Anyways, everybody say, get to the point. God has called the mother and the father to give the blessing. Y'all with me? The blessing and the mother to give the nurturing. And when you have that combination, you talk about a revival in the family. It's incredible. Incredible. And John wrote in John 14, 18, and Jesus said this. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. One translation says, I will not leave you comfortless. But a more accurate translation is, I will not leave you as orphans. You don't have to live through your life spiritually like you don't have anybody, because you are not an orphan. You are a son of God, a joint heir of Jesus Christ. You are a daughter of God. You are part of a royal priesthood. You are a holy generation, a righteous generation. And I'm here to tell you that God the Father is here for you, and he's ready to nurture you like a mother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Elijah was teaching this morning. Elijah didn't know I was going to touch on this. But when Jesus got baptized, John the Baptist baptized him. And there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That was before Jesus did any miracles. That was before Jesus did anything outstanding. His ministry hadn't started yet. But yet, Jesus the Son was pleasing to Yahweh the Father. I know it's Mother's Day, but I got a little message for dads, okay? Don't wait until your daughter or son does great things before they get your acceptance, before you have to perform. You tell them you're proud of them even when they fail. Don't wait. You need to be that voice that comes from heaven and say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Don't you wait on them to perform. Don't you wait on them to do miracles and do these great things. Well, until he graduates college and gets a bachelor's degree and gets this. What's the matter with you? Are you messed up in the head? Say, I am proud of my children. I love my children. And you need to lay hands on your children and speak life and blessing to them. And not talk down to them, but lift them up and say, I'm proud of you. I love you because you came from me. What do you think God is saying? I love you. You look just like me. You're made in my image. You're made in my likeness. I love you. You came from me. Isn't that cool? I've been using the word cool a lot, and I think that went out in the 80s. But God is huge, and God is a creator, and God is a nurturer. And I'm here to tell you today, God is ready to heal your wound where you've been hurt, where you've been hurt by people, and God the Father, Abba Father, is ready to release his sonship on your life. And you've been hurt, you've been broken, but God is here to nurture you and to care for you and to get you back on your feet and say, I love you. And I've got you inscribed in the palm of my hands. Glory to God. Isn't that cool? Well, can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is awesome. And I just want to tell you that you have hope for your life. You have hope. Well, I don't see it. Well, if you seen it, it wouldn't be hope. Amen? We're going to have to watch this microphone. I was trying to lick my lips and I licked. Everybody say hope. I need some mouthwash right now. Everybody say hope. See, we walk by faith and not by sight. And some of us, we get so discouraged because it looks like everything's so dark in our life. But I'm here to tell you that in your darkest hour, that's when God shines the brightest. Trust him. Put your hope in him. You keep on hoping. Hope is never gone. Look at your neighbor and say that hope is never lost. It's never lost. It's never gone. It's always there. Always there. How can you keep on hoping after a situation like this? Because Jesus is my hope. No, the Bible says no man has seen God at any time. The Bible says what we don't see is permanent, it's eternal. But what we do see is temporary. Y'all get it? I walk by faith. I believe before I see. That's my question to you this morning. Do you believe before you see? And you may be in your darkest hour. You may be in a dark valley, but God the Father is ready to come down and show you his creative power, to show you how powerful he is, but yet he's going to show you how nurturing and caring he is too. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Man, I'm just in a laughing mood this morning. The joy of the Lord is our strength, amen? The joy of the Lord. Whatever need you have this morning, this altar is open. You need prayer. You need a refreshing from the Lord. Whatever it is, if you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can make it right with him today. Whatever need you have, this altar is open. And I'm going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray together. And I want Elijah to lead us in a song. And if you don't feel the Lord leading you up here, just praise God where you're at. Just worship the Lord where you are. And let's focus on the Lord in these moments that God has given us. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. God, you are so awesome. The words that I use today don't do you justice. There's not even human language. There's no human language that's good enough to describe your goodness and what you can do and how you fill this universe. And Lord, we thank you for meeting our needs today. And Father, I pray that you would lead someone, whatever need they have, if they feel led to come up today. I pray, God, that they would look to you and receive what you have for them today. Thank you, Lord, that we have a relationship with you. And I thank you, God, for your freeing power. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heaven help my heart let go, even when my head says no. Oh, the things in this world below, heaven help.